Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
With me today is this year's Archibald People's Choice Awardee, Loribel Spirovsky. Good day, Loribel.
Hello.
Kamusta?
Mabuti po.
So, Loribel, you are Filipina, Serbian, Macedonian.
Yes, that's right.
Ang nanay mo ay Pinay.
Opo.
From Catanduanes.
Yes.
So, lumipat kayo. You moved to Australia when you were 5?
When I was just about to turn 9.
9. So, nahirapan ka ba at first?
Oh, very. It's a completely different place. Luckily, I already knew how to speak English. My mom taught me. And then, it basically just focused on assimilation.
So that was in the 90s or early 2000s?
Late 99.
And Australia was so different back then.
Yes, exactly. Pre-internet in a way.
Yes, and relatively dominantly white.
Well, interestingly, where we moved, it was very multicultural. So I was around a lot of nationalities I never met before. So I was the only Filipino that I knew. But there were a lot of Koreans, a lot of Chinese.
Where was this?
This was near Ashfield.
In New South Wales?
In New South Wales, yes.
It wasn't hard for you to mix because Koreans, more or less Asians.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I was just immediately put in this melting pot of different cultures. And then we only stayed there for a couple of years and we moved to Western Sydney, which is even more multicultural. So I was around a lot of, Vietnamese, Samoans, Serbians. I was still the only Filipino there. But
what was it like
Indonesians
growing up Filipino, surrounded by different cultures?
I think it's funny. I would see Filipino culture, like a little bit of, similarities with Filipino culture in other cultures. And I would say, oh, we sort of do something similar there. Or you could be Filip. You look so similar to like my cousin or something like that. And I think it just sort of made me understand how Australia is woven from so many different cultures.
And I guess it opened your world to a whole new adventure because growing up in the Philippines, we all look the same. We all like to eat rice. We all like the same thing, right?
Absolutely. I mean, Western Sydney is so, so multicultural. I really just, tried a little bit of everything. It felt like traveling the world, honestly. So it really broadened my mind about different cultural practices, different languages.
And growing up, did you ever have a specific interest in art?
Not at all. Definitely not in the Philippines. Actually, my interest was more in singing because my mother,
of course,
is a singer.
You're a karaoke star.
When the opportunity presents itself, yes. But it was really more music until we came to Sydney. And that was when I discovered that I was very good at this thing. And my teachers recognized it. And they, especially during high school, they allowed me basically free entry into the store cupboard where all the art materials are kept. And that was the most amazing gift for me.
It was like taking you to a candy store.
I was really like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. Yeah.
So that interest led you to a course in the arts, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So because I had so much respect for my art teachers, I pretty much thought, well, that's my direction in life. I'm going to be an art teacher. I love them. They are such wonderful people. I have so much respect for them. And so I studied to be a visual arts teacher. But by the end of it, I realized that teaching was not really suitable for me, at least teaching in large high school group settings, which is, to be honest, a lot of it is managing young people. You know, you actually don't get to teach much art if you think about it.
Just managing moods.
Absolutely. Managing hormones, teenagers, and I was like, nope, I don't think this is for me.
And so, when was it that you decided, that's it, I'm going to focus solely on making art?
That was after I graduated, and after I had a meeting with two of my lecturers to see if I could get into either an honors degree or if I should continue with masters. And they said, you should just teach for 5 years and then come back. And that just broke my heart. So I went home and I basically just started painting as a way of treating my own depression and anxiety from not knowing what to do with life after graduating.
Did you ever hear from your mom to say, oh, you should take up nursing, you should take up
You
medicine or
know,
law?
my mom, this is the amazing thing about my mom, because she came from a tiny little village in Catanduanes, and she took herself to Japan and became a singer just on her own. She just responded to this ad in the newspaper, and she went such an unconventional route. That's how she met my dad. She was working as a singer in Malaysia, and my dad just happened to be staying at that hotel where she was performing. And they fell in love that way. So I think when it came to me, she was like, you can do whatever you want, because I did whatever I wanted and things worked out really well for me. And as long as you're diligent with whatever you choose, then everything is fine.
And from your Serbian Macedonian side, there wasn't any influence like you should be this, you should take this path.
I think my parents, because I also did very well academically, I think they just knew that no matter what I chose to do, I would always do it to the best of my abilities. So they really, I think they just trusted me because I was much harder on myself than they were on me.
You are one of the lucky ones to be able to do what you love most.
Oh, very. I mean, every single day, I am so immensely grateful that this is actually my reality, because I know, how many of my colleagues have to teach as well to, earn a living on the side and whatever else. But this is my full-time situation.
And you've decided to focus on portraiture, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so portraiture and figurative paintings have been my dominant practice, I guess. But actually, this year I'll be branching out into landscape as well. And I've done abstract, sort of, I guess, as a 21st century painter, you tend to be a lot more mixed in your styles because we have so much to choose from, right? And the internet just offers us so many different opportunities. That my style is a little bit hard to pin down. I think it's a mishmash of different things.
What sparked your interest in an individual story, being portraiture and figurative painting?
I think because I was always a very introspective child, even in Manila, I was really, I didn't speak very much, but I would observe everything. And because I was always very different from everyone. I looked very different from all of my cousins. I looked very different from my mom. People often didn't think that we were related. So I didn't do much talking, but I watched people a lot. And I think that translates into my interest in psychology and that kind of, portraiture is such a direct way of studying people and their stories.
And congratulations, People's Choice Award for this year's
Thank
Archibald.
you,
What led you
Salamat
to present this certain individual? Tell us about the portrait.
po. Well, I met William Barton, who's an Indigenous composer and musician. I met him late last year when he was performing in Melbourne alongside my husband, Simon Tedeschi, who's a concert pianist. And I basically was just completely blown away, not just by his talent and his grace and presence on stage, but also just how intelligent, charismatic, soulful he was. So I was actually too shy to ask him if I could paint him, so I asked my husband to ask him, and William said yes. And it took a long time for us to actually find a time where he was free, because he's such a busy, busy person, constantly traveling the world and the country, representing Australian music. And eventually, when I did get him, I only had 2 hours because he had to fly off to another place. But it was a, you know, being a portrait painter is such an interesting challenge because unless you know the person very well, you have to immediately get to know something very deep and very honest about them. And, you know, how do you do that in 2 hours or less?
So did you do it? Was your approach like what Ando does? Like they sit down for a portrait and then you chat about life? Or do you just have a look and then draw the basics and then have a deeper reflection later on?
A little bit of both, I think, because we had such a limited time together, there was, of course, conversation. And I started it off by talking about myself first and basically saying, look, I'm going to be open and vulnerable with you and share a little bit of my story. And kind of, I would like a little bit of that in return so that we're kind of on an even playing field. And the reflection comes afterwards. So I only had time to do a little sketch and take photographs of him on the day. But when, you know, a couple of days later, when I go to my studio, I put his music on. And I'm often very drawn to painting musicians, other artists, actors, people in creative fields, because I not only do I have access to them, but I have access to their work, which often speaks so much more about their truth than even having a conversation with them. So as I painted William's portrait, I was listening to his music at the same time, and that really informed the way that I painted him.
There was there a specific song?
Well, everything. Pretty much I listened to his entire catalog, but the first song that I put on was called Bird Song at Dusk, and it's a beautiful, beautiful piece, and he plays the yidaki, his didgeridoo, and he also sings, vocalizes, and it's just, I was crying, I was sobbing the whole time, and the thing about my situation is that I've been recovering from an injury for the past 4.5 years, and the injury was a chronic repetitive strain that comes from painting too much, actually. And that, I think all of the energy of the preceding years really fueled the joy, the relief, the, you know, celebration that the painting is all about.
And this is your fourth entry to the Archibald.
Yes, fourth time getting in, yeah.
How did it feel like when you received that message, like, yes, you got the People's Choice Award?
Oh, man, I mean, like, it's enough of a prize to get chosen as a finalist. I think if you ask any artist, they have thousands of entrants every year. And getting in feels like such a lottery, you know, because they only get something crazy like 2 to 5 seconds per painting they get to look at it. And to get in is wonderful enough as it is. But getting that phone call, you know, it's funny. They called me and I, you know, they say, hi, this is whatever from the Art Gallery of New South Wales. And I thought, oh, no, is the painting damaged or something? Do I have to go? And like, why are they calling me? And it didn't occur to me that it would be good news. I think we're also, the artists are weirdly pessimistic, I think, because we expect something to go wrong. But it didn't feel real. The phone call didn't feel real until much later.
How'd you celebrate?
Oh, how did I celebrate? I gave myself a day off. I think I gave myself a couple of day off where I kind of just like went op shopping, walking around. Oh, it was great.
It was really great. It was like walking in cloud nine.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. I think it, you know, it's funny that there are memes on the internet that go around about how the person you are now is the person you dreamed about 5 years ago. And it really did feel that way. I kind of just got this sudden, like, almost like I flashed back to 5 years ago, just before I got injured, and thinking about how different life is now and how everything just happens when you trust and you're consistent.
Thank you very much, Lauribel Spirovsky, and congratulations, Archibald People's Choice Awardee for 2025.
Thank you so very much. Thank you.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, o sa iba pang podcast apps.